Hi, guys. Good morning. Think for just a moment of where you currently are in your life. Maybe you're currently in school. Most of you probably have a job. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. And some of you may be retired and enjoying that time of your life. Now I want you to pause and think about the people that are in your community circle. This can be family, friends, coworkers, people you see at church, and anyone that you do life with. Some of us have really big community circles, and others have much smaller ones. Now I want you to think about the people in your life that are in your circle of trust. For me, the circle just shrunk significantly. These are the people that we spend most of our time with and know basically everything about us. Maybe this circle consists of your parents, your spouse, your kids, or one or two friends. These are the people that have our backs through thick and thin. The ones that you can call up and know that they will answer. The ones that will drop everything and come watch your kids because your babysitter backed out. The ones that will help you out when your car is broke down on the side of the road. The ones that aren't on your schedule, but you still say yes to coming over and hanging out for a little while. These people are your ride or dies. And I know as I'm explaining this, you most likely had one or two people that came to mind. And finally, there's that one person who you consider to be your mentor. The one that has helped guide you to where you are today. The one who has pulled you up when you've needed it the most. And the person who you hope to model yourself after. When Jesus was doing his ministry, his circle would have consisted of his 12 disciples. These 12 men were not only taught by Jesus, but they were his friends. The crew traveled around together from city to city and ate meals with one another. Then you can shrink that circle a little more and see in Scripture the closeness that Jesus had with James, John, and Peter. Today I'm going to be teaching about the importance of mentorship, and the story I will be focusing on is Jesus and the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. It's important to note that when you read the Bible, we should read it in context. This means we read what happened before and after so we have a better picture of what is happening. It can make things clearer to us as a reader. So in this case, prior to our story today, he is teaching on a mountainside and the people he was teaching got hungry. So he performed an incredible miracle. With just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus multiplies the food and fed 5,000 people. And right after this miracle is where our story picks up. After the meal, Jesus sends his disciples to sail across the sea to go to the next town as he goes to a mountainside to pray. And this was a normal thing for Jesus to do. He would often go to a place of solitude to pray, and sent his disciples away to do something else. But things are about to get a lot more interesting. Let's take a look at this story in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you out on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So if we go to the beginning of this passage, the disciples were out at sea in a violent storm without their leader. They were sheep lost without their shepherd. And remember, these men were experienced fishermen who would have been in bad weather all the time out in sea. And Jesus, still being back on the shore, decides to go out to the water to his disciples, not by boat, but by foot. And as Jesus begins to get close to the disciples, they start to get frightened and mistake him as a ghost. Up to this point, they've never seen anything like this before. They've never seen a man walking on water. And just a few hours before this, the disciples witnessed Jesus perform a miracle. So their faith should have been limitless, right? And Jesus, seeing his friends in total panic, called out to them, and he says, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And I read this story, and I like to tell myself that I would have had all the faith. I would have not have doubted in this situation, unlike the disciples. I would have seen Jesus face to face each day and witnessed with my own two eyes miracle after miracle. But here are Jesus' best friends, his inner circle, not even able to recognize him, mistaking him as a ghost. But then I can humbly say I probably would have been the same way if I was on that boat, if I'm being honest with myself. Most likely all of us would have lacked faith in this moment, just like the disciples did. Peter, who was in the boat with the other disciples and was known for being the leader of the group, shouts out to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out to you." The other disciples were probably looking around at each other thinking, "Is this guy crazy?" But not only did Peter want to test his own faith, he was being a leader to the others and wanted to be an example in front of them. This is what great mentors do. And what the greatest of mentors do is they make it known that they believe in you. They give you the confidence you need to overcome an obstacle. So Jesus accepts Peter's request and says to him, "Yes, come." And what would have required remarkable faith, Peter climbs out of the boat. And even though we know what happens next, let's just focus on the trust that Peter is displaying in Jesus in this moment. None of the other disciples got out of the boat. Only Peter did. And he didn't do it on a nice sunny day with calm waters, but in the middle of the night in the midst of a storm. He gets out of the boat and walks on water towards Jesus. So in the matter of hours, there are three miracles that just took place. Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, and now Peter walking on water. And we probably would have loved to read about a Disney-fied version of a story where Peter completely walks out to Jesus. They embrace one another and the sun comes out with birds chirping and a rainbow appears and holy music happens, but we all know that's not what occurred. After taking a few steps, reality sinks in and Peter takes his eyes off Jesus. Peter becomes focused on the darkness, the winds, and the waves around him, and he becomes afraid and starts to sink. And just as he was about to go fully under and takes one last gasp of air, he yells out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He reaches out his hand and pulls Peter up out of the water and saves him. And as I'm reading this, I ask myself, and I ask each of you today, how often do we have our eyes on Jesus? But when the storms of life are all around us, that's where our focus goes. We tell ourselves that we have unwavering faith, but the slightest inconvenience in our lives causes us to doubt. And after we have taken our eyes off Jesus, and we try to do it all without him, we get to a point where we begin to sink, so we have no other choice but to yell out, "Lord, save me." And it can be easy to criticize Peter for doubting, but I can imagine the other disciples gained a lot of respect for Peter that day. The others looked up to Peter and his courage. He had the faith to get out of the boat. And just as Jesus was a mentor to Peter, Peter was a mentor to the other disciples that day. Back in February, myself and these amazing youth and leaders in here today had our annual trip to Pine Brook Winter Retreat. And ironically, the theme of that weekend was indeed mentorship. So you guys get to hear it twice now. And the one activity that the students took part in has stuck with me, and I want to explain it to you. The speaker had the big group split up into two halves. One half left the room completely, and the other half stayed. The group that stayed was then broken up into five or six smaller groups throughout the room. Each smaller group was to observe a famous painting on the wall and copy it as exactly as they saw on a separate piece of paper with colored pencils. Most groups did just that, and they copied exactly what they saw. However, one of the groups decided to go rogue and be creative with their drawing. How you doing, Brendan? They decided to put a beard on the woman and put a crown on her head and other little alterations that were not on the original piece. And of course, it was some of our students. So after 10 minutes, the big groups rotated and the original group left the room and the first group came back. And in the process of the rotation, the leaders hid the original painting. So all that was left was now the students' drawings on the wall. So what do you think the next group did? They copied exactly what they assumed was the original piece, but now they were just drawing what the first group of students had drawn. When they finished, all the students came back into the room and observed the artwork around the room. And they started to realize that most of the drawings looked exactly like the original painting, except that one in the corner back there where the woman had the beard and the crown on her head, and probably some other alterations I didn't see. We all laughed because, without even knowing it, the group that didn't follow directions and drew differently made us think of something very important that day. Are the people we surround ourselves with, maybe even the ones we call our mentors, reflecting the original piece of art? And that is reflecting Jesus. And without putting shame on them, because they didn't know, that second group of students did exactly what they thought was right, and they copied the altered piece. But how can we know if our mentors are representing Jesus, the people we look up to, the people that shape us in our life? And my answer is this: are they bearing fruit? Galatians 5, 22, 30, 23 says, "The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And even though these people you look up to, they may strive to be more like Jesus, they aren't Jesus. But does Jesus radiate off of them? Or what if someone looks up to you as their mentor? Are you bearing fruit? We have the opportunity to show love just as Jesus did. And not just when others are watching you, but all the time. Then there is self-control. When you're at Costco and the place is packed and the car swerves in front of you to get a parking spot, I'm sure many of you have been in this scenario, and your kid is in the back watching you, as they do very well, you have a decision to make. Are you going to give that person the good old number one, or are you going to smile and keep it moving? And some of you may be able to relate with me on this one. And it's the way we talk to our friends, our family, if there's a disagreement. And you can ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? He would speak in a more gentle tone than you or I just did. So bottom line, when we are looking for a mentor, this is what we are doing. We are checking for fruit. Did you know the definition of a Christian isn't found in the Bible? The word is only used in Scripture three times in the entire book. It's actually in the book of Acts. And the word Christian was a name given to new believers as an insult. But over time, we now use that as a badge of identity. But I can't tell you how often I see others that will consider themselves to be Christians, but aren't representing Christ by demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Here are some everyday examples of what I'm explaining. You might see a man wearing a cross around their neck, but cursing someone out in the grocery aisle. Or a girl in high school who has John 3:16 in her Instagram bio, but she just got drunk and high with her friends on a Friday night. Or perhaps someone you know has read the Bible cover to cover multiple times, but has never openly shared the gospel with someone else. It is easy for us to say, we're a Christian. But the greater question is, are you a disciple of Jesus? Unlike the word Christian being mentioned only three times in the Bible, the word disciple is mentioned 261 times. And one thing I've come to realize, the stronger I get in my walk with the Lord, is that when words are mentioned a lot in the Bible, it's important to God. Here's an example of how much discipleship means to God. Right before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he leaves the people with these very important instructions in Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Discipleship is a big deal, not a suggestion, but a command. And there are people in your life that look up to you, and they are checking for fruit. There are some key lessons from the story today, and I want to briefly break down five of them. The first lesson is that peace isn't found in the absence of storms, but in the presence of Jesus. One more time. Peace isn't found in the absence of storms, but in the presence of Jesus. Remember, Jesus didn't invite Peter to come out on the water after he calmed the storm. He did it in the middle of the storm. The calming of the storm didn't come till later. And this is the opposite of how we like to operate. We think peace. We think what Jesus promises us is smooth sailing. Jesus never promises us smooth sailing. He says we will have trials and tribulations and storms that come up in our life. But what he is saying is you can still have hope. You can still have joy. You can still have peace, even in the middle of the storm, if you keep your eyes on me. The next lesson is that faith requires stepping out of the boat. We like comfort and safety and don't like taking big risks. But sometimes God tells us we need to get outside the boat. And that's what Peter did. He listened to Jesus say, come. And that is what you and I need to do. Stepping out of our comfort zone where Jesus is calling us to go rather than what is comfortable for us. And it is scary to step out of the boat, just as Peter did. But take heart, because Jesus is there with you to reach out his hand and to pull you up. The next piece to take from this story is that without Jesus, you will sink. And even though Peter's walk on the water was short-lived, he learned that without Jesus being there, he would have went totally under. And life is going to bring big winds and waves. And when we fall into our temptation, and when we continue to sin, even though we know we shouldn't, we take our focus off Jesus, and we will go under. But when we keep our eyes on him, when we stay above the waves, he will pull us up. Next, I want to emphasize that worship should be our response. Matthew highlights in this story that after seeing the power of the Lord, once he calmed the storm, the disciples worshiped him, saying, "You really are the Son of God." So when we see the power that Jesus brings in our lives, we should take time to worship him. And the final lesson from the story is that God wants to do incredible things through you. God has those walk-on-water stories he wants to tell through you and through me. He wants to tell a good story through your life, just like he did through Peter. So take a risk, step outside your comfort zone, and let him call you out on the water. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to share the miraculous stories of what you did with your disciples. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk above the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Amen.